Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, put your hands together for Jesus, son. Come on.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his courts with praise. Good morning, everyone. You are listening to the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience for this Sunday, March 19, 2023. Now, I am Apostle Shalene Cook, hallelujah, but I am always blessed to be joined by the faithful servant leaders of Spirit Alive. So this morning I am being joined by Bishop Lester Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Apostle Zeta Flowers, and Minister Tina Brown. So on behalf of all of us, we would like to welcome you to this morning's service. Now, won't you bow with me as we go to the Lord in opening prayer? Most gracious and heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace right now, offering up our praise and our worship for your glory. Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would use us to glorify you today and that your people would be blessed. We pray in the name of Jesus that if somebody that does not know you in the part of their sin will hear something on today that will cause them to give their lives over to you and make you their Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray that someone will hear something today that has left the church, that has isolated themselves, that will turn them around and have them come and rededicate themselves to you. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to go out over the airwaves and to bless your people. And we just want to give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. Bless every servant leader here, Father God. Bless servant leaders all over the world. We pray in the name of Jesus that you and only you will get the honor and the glory and the praise. Amen.
One of the best ways that we can prove that we love the Lord is by giving. Amen. So we're going to sing a song about giving, and it's got some hand motions, and I want you to join with me, okay? Will you do that? Here we go. Watch me. Give, and it will come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Give, and it will come back. Together and running over, give, and it will come back to you. When you give to the Lord, give in love, give in faith, give with joy and a smile on your face.
Hallelujah and glory to God. Once again, we'd like to welcome everyone that is here in the worship service this morning. God bless you. We are so glad that you joined us. Hallelujah. It is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every Sunday, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell is faithful and on her post to read to us from a powerful devotional written by Pastor Joseph Prince entitled Destined to Reign. So won't you please retrieve your Bibles and give your attention to the mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. I am so blessed to be here, and I praise God for his goodness to me. Our meditational reading this morning is entitled, Don't Sweat Over Loss or Waste. We'll be looking at Luke 15, verses 22 and 23. And it reads such, But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. Now, saints, what would you say if your son, whom you had given a large inheritance to, came crawling home one day after wasting all his money on riotous living? In the parable of the prodigal son, verses 11 through 24, the father did not say one word about loss or waste. Though his son had indeed wasted his inheritance on riotous living. The father only saw his son's homecoming as an opportunity to show him how much he loved him and to restore to him what he had lost. Like the father in the prodigal and the father in the parable, it is your heavenly father's desire to embrace you and show you how much you are loved. And it is his good pleasure to restore to you what you have lost. Perhaps you have lost something recently, or you are frustrated that something has gone to waste due to a bad decision you made. My friends, God does not see the finality of the loss or waste the way you do. When you come to him with it, he sees it as an opportunity to restore to you what has been lost or wasted. Even if, like the prodigal son, you feel far away from your heavenly father or you feel that you have disappointed him, don't despair. The truth is that the moment you come to him, he immediately restores you to you the robe of honor, clothe your nakedness, the ring of authority to declare your position of power and dominion, and the sandals on your feet, which servants do not wear, to reinstate you as a son in his house. He reassures you that you had never lost the position of sonship, and he celebrates your return to him with the killing of a fatted calf because you are his beloved child, whom he cherishes. Beloved, in your father's house, you not only come under his complete protection, but you also enjoy his inexhaustible, rich positions, additional love. Amen and glory to God. May
Amen.
The Lord add blessings and favor to the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. Amen and glory to God. The thought for the day, It is your heavenly Father's desire to show you how much you are loved and to restore to you what you have lost. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Come on, praise Him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right.
My Lord, the devil is alive.
Amen.
The devil is alive.
Always.
Praise Him, praise Him. He's alive. He ain't got no power here.
All right. We'll be singing during offering time, y'all. All right, y'all excited? Come on, come on. Hey. Oh, come on, everybody. Hey.
Yeah,
but
Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Press down, shake it together, run it over. Hallelujah. It is now time for prayer here at the Spirit of Life Praise and Worship Experience. And this is a time when we come together as a family to stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters all over this world. And we want you to know that when we pray here, we pray expecting, trusting, and believing that God will do exactly what he says he will do. Because his word declares that if we abide in him and we allow him to abide in us, that we can ask what we will and it shall be done. Hallelujah. So right now, I'm asking you to bow your heart as we go to the throne of grace with our beloved apostle, Apostle Zeta Flowers. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, everyone. And we're going to go right into prayer, going into the throne of grace. Hallelujah. As our Father has allowed us to do. Praise God. And we're going to take our petitions to him. Hallelujah. Father God, we come to you this morning. We come to you with thanksgiving, thanking you for all that has been done this morning.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for giving us a new start, a new opportunity to lift up your
Lord,
name,
God.
A new opportunity to serve you and to be in your presence. Hallelujah.
Yes.
With other believers. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Even in the
Hallelujah.
Midst of those that don't know you. Praise God. We thank you. We thank you for all
thank
that you're
you,
doing
Lord.
In the body of Christ.
Thank
we
you,
thank you for all that you're doing in us and through us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the prayers that have gone forth, the songs. Praise God. The devotional reading. It all has meaning. And we just thank you, Lord, for each one that
thank
has gone
you,
forth.
Thank you, Jesus.
We lift
Hallelujah.
Up those,
bless
Lord,
God.
That are in need today, all over the world, in the name of Jesus. Those that have been affected by the disasters, the floodings, the earthquakes, the hurricanes, and all of these things that are happening, the mudslides,
yes,
all of this, Lord, that we have no control over. But we thank you for your hand of protection upon us.
Yes,
we thank
Lord,
you for
yes.
keeping us in your care.
Thank you.
Because
yes,
we know that you take care of your own. And we
yes,
thank
yes.
you for that. We thank you today,
thank
Lord.
You,
Lord.
Yes,
Hallelujah.
You do.
We thank you for keeping us. We thank you
yes,
for watching
sir.
Over us, protecting us. Hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus.
We thank you for putting us in position where we can be a help to others, Lord. We thank
yes,
you,
Lord.
We thank you that as you give, we can give unto others, hallelujah, that are less fortunate. We thank you for that today. We thank you, hallelujah. Oh, God, we thank you. We praise your holy name.
Yes,
Father God,
Lord.
We just pray this morning for breakthroughs.
Yes.
We pray for miracles. We pray for
yes,
healing.
Lord.
We pray for deliverance. Hallelujah. Those that have been stuck, hallelujah, in their drug situations, their alcohol, all of these things, Lord, that they seem to think
way,
that they can't be freed
right
of and
now.
Seem to think that they need. We ask, Lord, that
Lord.
That deliverance
yes.
will come in the name of
yes.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
We
yes,
pray,
Lord,
Lord that Jesus somehow, Lord. Hallelujah, they will have a desire
yes.
to want to change. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
In
bless
Jesus'
you.
Name.
Yes,
so we ask
Lord.
That you would touch area today
in
the name
of
Jesus. In the name of Jesus, those that are suffering, those that are in pain,
yes, Lord,
we speak healing for them this morning. In the name of
yes.
Jesus, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh,
many
man,
need a miracle today, Lord. We pray that you would move
yeah.
miraculously across the nation. In the name of Jesus, and
oh,
even in our midst,
Jesus.
God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Those that are listening in today, those that are hearing, hearing the message today, we pray, Lord, that there will be a great turnaround. In the name of Jesus, that they will really hear you, Lord. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, that your people will be restored. Hallelujah. And we know that there has been a great falling away. But, Lord, we're praying, hallelujah, for your people to return back to you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Give the backsliders a desire, hallelujah, to come back in Jesus' name, to come back to their first love in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we pray that you will touch those in the hospitals in the name of Jesus, the nursing homes, all of these areas where people are confined. We pray, Lord, that you will visit them, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, that you will lift them up, Lord, hallelujah. Be the lifter of their souls in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. And let them be impressed upon the fact, Lord, that you do love them and that you do care about them. Hallelujah. And you want them to be saved. Hallelujah. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, you don't want them to be lost.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
No,
hallelujah. But you came that they would be saved. Hallelujah.
Yes,
in the name of
Lord.
Jesus. So we pray, Lord, that it with salvation, hallelujah, healing will come about in the name of Jesus, and they will be blessed with all the other things that they need. Hallelujah, that you have already promised in your word. Oh, do it, God. In the name of Jesus, our trust is in you,
Lord,
today, Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
And we know that you are more than able. Hallelujah. We know that you will do what you said you will do, and we just thank you for it, Lord. We praise you.
Thank you.
We pray, Lord, that
thank
you will have an outpouring in the prisons and the jails and the juvenile halls. We pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you they will hear
your
word. Hallelujah. That they will be quickened by your spirit,
hallelujah,
God. In the name of Jesus, that they will turn their lives over to you. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord, God.
Hallelujah. And you will set them free, Lord. And we know that when you set us free, we are free indeed. Hallelujah, because of you. Hallelujah, because you are the one that can bring us out. Hallelujah. To bring us in.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
That you made a long time ago. Hallelujah. And we thank you. We praise you this morning. We praise you for answered prayer this morning. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you that you are hearing our prayers. And we thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah, that we can see, hallelujah, your supernatural hand at work, God. We thank you for it. We praise you this morning, hallelujah, for all that you're doing right now and all that you will continue to do for us, your children. Hallelujah. We lift up everyone this morning that's listening in the name of Jesus, those that are on their sick beds, hallelujah, those that have been diagnosed, Lord, hallelujah, with different things, hallelujah. We pray, Lord, that you will touch them this morning, that you will touch them, that you will heal, hallelujah. It doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter what the doctor said, hallelujah, because you are the great physician. Hallelujah.
Yes, you are.
Hallelujah.
Yes, you are.
Oh, God, and we can
never
go to you, God. Hallelujah. And depend upon you and trust you, God. Hallelujah, to be our healer. Hallelujah. We speak complete healings today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
We pray that
your
people will exercise your faith, Lord, in their faith. In
the
name of Jesus, the measure of faith that you have given them, that they will put it in motion, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That they will trust you and believe you in spite of what they heard. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, God, bless them to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord in Jesus' holy and righteous name. And we thank you for it. We praise you.
Thank you, Lord.
We pray, Lord,
that
you lift up the
thank
spirit
you,
of my ministries this morning. In the name of Jesus, continue to bless.
Thank
the
you.
Leader. Hallelujah. Apostle Jolene Cook. In the name
bless
of Jesus
you.
And everybody else, hallelujah, that's attached
Amen.
To the ministry. In Jesus' name, every church that's
you.
Represented, every ministry that's
Lord.
Represented, we ask, Lord, that you would move in mighty ways, Lord.
Yes,
we know the desires
Jesus.
Of each one, and we pray that you would meet every desire in the name of Jesus, that you will answer every prayer, hallelujah, that we have prayed. And we pray, Lord, for those that are unsaved, hallelujah, that don't know
right
in the name of Jesus that you would move in miraculous ways in their lives,
hallelujah,
in the name of Jesus, that they will have the right to the tree of life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we pray, Lord, that somebody will accept you on this day in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It is now time for this morning's message. And this morning we are blessed to have our message come from our very own Bishop Lester Carver. This is a man of God. He is a man after God's own heart. So I would ask that you retrieve your Bibles if you haven't done so. Get something to write with and to write on, because you are going to receive a banquet feast from the man of God, Bishop Lester Carver. Amen.
Amen.
Apostle Cook. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity that we have today to feast on your word, God. Father, I thank you for your spirit that you place within us, God, so that we could be one with you. You can reconcile the world back to you. Father, I thank you for this word going forth, impacting someone today in a way that will free them, that will strengthen them, that will encourage them, and that will empower them to name your son.
Yeah.
This morning, we're going to be discussing principles of tithing, and we're going to be discussing what it means in the context of giving and declaring as an act of worship. See, many times we misunderstand the idea and the concept of tithes and tithing because we are not familiar with the origin and the beginning of tithes and offerings and the ideas related to first fruits and why that was even an issue. So today, I'm going to spend some time in Deuteronomy chapter 26, and you can turn there, and I'm going to be discussing what God was doing, what he was instructing his people to do before they entered into the promised land. And God would not take you into your inheritance, take you into a place of promise without specific instruction so that you could benefit and you could be blessed and you could be secure in knowing that he's with you in this new place. He's with you when he tells you that you are to go into this land that I'm taking from other people, giving to you to possess and to dwell within that land. And so this is what God tells his people to do in this first part of chapter 26 of Deuteronomy. Yeah, Deuteronomy chapter 26. It says, and this is regarding offerings of first fruits and tithes. Now, these are two separate but related things. First fruits are the first from the ground, and tithes are 10% of increase over a specific period of time that we're going to discuss after we get deeper into this. But look at what it says here in verses 1 through 3. It says, and it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall go to the one who is priest in those days and say to him, I declare today to the Lord my God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. So what you see here in these three verses are specific instructions to the people that God gave the land of the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. As an inheritance to possess it and to dwell in it. And so he says, now that you're about to take this land, when you go into the land, he says, I want you to possess it and dwell in it. And then after you've worked the land and the land starts giving of its first fruits of all of its increase, it says, you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground. These are what he's calling the first fruits, which you shall bring up from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. Now, he's speaking of the temple before the temple exists. And so this is where they would end up having to go to bring their first fruits. And it says, when you come into this land that the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, and you possess it and you dwell in it, this is when he wants you to offer up these first fruits. And then he says, you shall take some of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring up from the land. And so God is telling us, he's telling his people that we are to be owners with a stewardship mindset. And now what we're doing when we take of the first fruits is we're acknowledging God in all that we do, as it directs us to do in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths, right? So they're acknowledging God's causing the land to be productive and to be fruitful, and the fact that God gave them the land that wasn't theirs in the first place. It was theirs because God said it was theirs. And so he's saying, now I want you to offer up the first fruits of this as an offering to me, and now I want you to declare this as an act of worship, that the Lord your God is giving you this land. And so now what we want to do, he says, is we want to look at this next passage from verse 4 down to verse 10, because God is giving them even more instruction. He says, okay, after you take up the first fruits from the ground, you take some of all the produce, put it in a basket, go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide, and then you're going to go to the priest, and you're going to declare to the priest, you're going to say to the priest, today, the Lord your God, I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. See, God promised their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that they were going to give them this, that he was going to give them this land many years prior to actually giving it to the children of Israel. The children of Israel, I mean, the length of time between this promise and when they enter into the promise is greater than 400 years. So that's a long time coming, right? So look at what it says here in verse 4. It says, then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God, and you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was an Armenian about to perish. Some translations say Syrian, but Armenian or Aramean. And it says, my father was Aramean. These are the people who spoke Aramaic. Jesus Christ spoke Aramaic. So whether your translation says Syrian or Aramaic or Aramean, it really doesn't matter, but Aramean is more accurate. It says, you shall answer and say before the Lord your God, my father was an Aramean about to perish, and he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. But the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us. Then we cried out to the Lord God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression, and the Lord heard our voice. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He has brought us to this place and has given us a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. See, so now what's happening here is he's giving them instructions. He says, look, put the first fruits of the ground in a basket. Go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. Go to the one who is priest in those days, to the Levites. Say to the priest, I declare today to the Lord my God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. This declaration is a response to God's love. So it's not just about what's in the form. It's about what's in your heart, coming out of your mouth in declaration to God. So you're responding to God's love with what you say after doing what God told you to do and putting the first fruits of the produce in the basket. Then it says, the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. So the priest's role is simply to take the basket, put it in front of the altar. So then he says, then you shall answer and say before the Lord your God. So now the basket is before the altar of God. The priest set it there. And now you're going to make this open declaration to God. You're having a conversation to God. And this conversation is remembering what God has done, remembering that my father, Jacob, was an Aramean, as I mentioned before. Aramaic is the language of Jesus Christ. Acknowledging that my father, Jacob, was about to perish. Remember when the famine was going on and Joseph prophesied of the famine, he interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And so Joseph was starving along with the rest of the world. And so they went to Egypt. So my father, Jacob, went down to Egypt. My father dwelt in Egypt. My father's family was few in number when they arrived at Egypt. My father's household became a great nation, mighty and populous in Egypt. My father Jacob's household was mistreated by the Egyptians. My father's household was afflicted by the Egyptians. My father's household had hard bondage laid on them by the Egyptians. Now, what's fascinating about this is that God is asking and telling his people here to acknowledge what I've done to you, acknowledge this blessing, this journey, this protection that I've been for you. He says, you know, you might forgive, but don't forget, because forgetting God's deliverance is never part of the equation. We're supposed to remember how God has delivered us, how God has protected us, how God has strengthened us. So then look at what he says. He says, then my father's household cried out after this affliction. He says, my father's household cried out to the Lord God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Lord heard our voice. The Lord looked on our affliction. The Lord looked on our labor. The Lord looked on our oppression. So what you see is an acknowledgement of all that God has done for his people. And then it says, therefore, so the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with an outstretched arm. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with great terror. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with signs and wonders. And see, this declaration is acknowledging all that God did in spite of all that the enemy did, the Egyptians, before God had to respond to this affliction. And then it says, therefore, God has brought us to this place, the place of inheritance. God has given us this land, the land flowing in milk and honey. And so now you have to see that God is saying, look, I'm not asking you just to give for the sake of giving because I need something. I want you to acknowledge my hand and my presence in your life so that you can see what I have done and what I am doing for you. So look at what it says here. It says, then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. So you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. So what you see here is that it's not just about the basket of fruit. It's also about the declaration. It's about the acknowledgement of God's goodness in your life and your heart coming out of your mouth when you are giving. And so it says, then you shall set it before the Lord your God and you shall worship before the Lord your God. So when you look at this, giving and declaration together are the act of worship that is constituted here in the first part of this. We're just talking about the first fruits right now. We haven't even touched tithing yet, right? But if you acknowledge the first fruits principle, where you see how God has blessed every area of your life, then you're not holding back from God. You're looking for the opportunity to fill the basket and present the basket and declare God's goodness to you. And
all
it
right,
says, you shall set it up before the Lord your God. You shall worship before the Lord your God. So therefore, you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given you. And it says here, which is really, really fascinating that people need to get, it says, so you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house, and you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. So now he's broadening those who are benefiting from this act of worship, this giving. It's not just you and your house. It's the Levite, the priest, and the stranger who is among you. Now, the stranger would be referred to the foreigners who live among the people of God. And it's fascinating because in the Old Testament, what you'll find is there are stories where there were foreigners who visited a city, and they were often abused by the local populace. I mean, very abused. God looked down on that. And so God is saying, I want you to put your tithes, your first fruits aside so that you can be a blessing to the foreigners, to the strangers in your land, so that they can be protected by your goodness, by the overflow of the provision that I make available to you, right? So now we're going to get into the principle of tithing, which we've heard a lot about, but not completely understood. And so tithing refers to the tenth, the 10%, and it's like a clock of God's favor on your life. So when you look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge God, and God will direct your paths, right? That's the promise from God. That's what God directs us to do. So now look at what it talks about here regarding tithing here in Deuteronomy chapter 26. Look at verse 12. It says, when you have been laying aside all the tithe of your increase, the 10%, in the third year, the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levite, the priest, the stranger, which is the foreigner, the fatherless, those without fathers, the widow, those with husbands who have passed away, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled. Then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house, and also have given the Levite, the priest, to the stranger, the foreigner among you, to the fatherless, those without fathers, and the widow, those without husbands who have passed away, or with husbands who passed away, according to all your commandments which you have commanded me. And I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten any of it when in mourning, nor have I removed any of it for an unclean use, nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God and have done according to all that you have commanded me. Now look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel and the land which you have given us, just as you have swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, I'm going to get into this in a way that's really going to help you see something that you probably haven't noticed before, that you probably never even heard of before, because people have interesting motives when it comes down to money, and we need to get honest. But look at what it says here in verse 12. It says, when you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levite, the priest, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled, then you shall say to the Lord your God, you're making this declaration to God. Well, let's go to that first part. You finish laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year. This is interesting. The third year is the year of tithing, and it's the year of tithing for a reason. There was a sequence. There was a process that they were to go through. They were to go through 3 years of putting aside their 10% within their gates and their household. And as the opportunity came, if a priest came and needed food, they would make available food to the priest. If a stranger or foreigner came to their house within their gates, they would make available food to the stranger or foreigner. To a widow, woman with a husband who had passed away, they would make available this food to the widow, or to a fatherless person, a person without a father, they would make available this provision. And so after the third year, whatever was left would go to the priest. It would just go. But you'd have 3 years, and then 3 years in the year of tithing, you would give this 10%. Then you'd have another 3 years, and you would give the 10%. And then in the seventh year was a year of resting for the land. It was a year of Passover. So there was no tithes of that year because the land was supposed to rest. And how this is really connected to 7 years is that after seven cycles of this three, three, and one year rest, after seven cycles of this, 49 years, in the 50th year is what would be called Jubilee. In Jubilee, basically how the rule went was if you were in debt and you had to send your children into servitude in order to pay off your debt, if your children were in service to another Jewish person, then in the 50th year, then that person would be set free. And so that's the significance of the seven cycles of the three, three, and one, the 3 years tithing, 3 years tithing, and 1 year rest. So it's really seven cycles of seven. But now it says the increase of the third year, the year of tithing, you've given it to the Levite, to the priest. You've given it to the stranger, the foreigner. You've given it to the fatherless, those without fathers, and to the widow. Now, in today's context, when do we ever hear about anybody except priests receiving tithes? We don't. What we do is we hand over our increase to people, and then we expect those people to do what God is asking us to do. And God is saying we're supposed to be holding the tithes within our reach, within our premises, within our gates. And we are supposed to be making that tithe available to the priests and to the strangers, the foreigners who are among us, to the fatherless, those without fathers, and to the widows, those without husbands, those whose husbands have passed away, so that they can eat within our gates and be filled. And when we understand that we have an active role in this worship, an active role in acknowledging God's provision in our lives so that others may be filled by our blessing that we have within our gates. We are owners with a stewardship principle, but it's not stewardship when you take your increase, when you take your tithe and you just blindly hand it over to somebody else and pray that they do what's right.
Amen.
After you give it to the priest today, who's providing for the stranger among you? Who is providing for the fatherless among you? Who is providing for the widows among you? I don't hear any discussion about that. And it's because we are the ones who are supposed to be doing that job.
Yeah.
God is entrusting us to be faithful to and trustworthy to hold that provision in our control so that we can distribute as God gives us the opportunity to distribute. See, in the body of Christ, people ought to know who's saved enough to be able to go to your house and say, do you have a blessing for me? I'm in need. And see, in the body of Christ, in the household, there is not supposed to be any lack because those who have much are supposed to give to those who have little. So everybody has what they need. There is not supposed to be
Amen.
Lack.
Amen.
Right. Supposed to be homelessness in the body of Christ. If I have three cars and I only drive one, then I know a couple brothers who need some cars and I give them a couple cars. If I know that I have some family members who are homeless, who are dealing with some challenges from the war, from drugs or whatever else they're dealing with, and I know that they need a place, that's their place.
Mm-hmm.
We have to grow up and we have to become owners with a stewardship mentality so that we do not fall victim to this con that causes people to please people, to serve money, to lean to our own understanding, and to operate out of our own limited strength, talent, and ability so that God can take us to the next level. And so here it says, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled. We are supposed to be filling stations and places of replenishment and restoration for others that come to us. We are supposed to have those resources on hand and available. And so now is a part of the declaration, right? See, giving the tithe is one thing, but now there's a declaration. There's something that's said. It says, you shall say before the Lord, this is after you give the tithe, you shall say before the Lord, I remove the holy tithe from my house, which tells you once again, tithing is an active form of worship, and where is the tithe to reside? The tithe resides in your house. Those proceeds are supposed to be in an account that's accessible to you, and a place that's accessible to you, that if somebody with need comes to you, they can have that need met from those resources. And you are supposed to be trustworthy enough. You are supposed to be in acknowledgement of God's presence in your life in such a way that you don't touch that money for anything, because it's not your money.
All right. Amen.
So part of the declaration is, I have given the holy tithe to the priest. The stranger, the foreigner, to the fatherless, to the widow. You know, how many people among us even think about the widows? You know, we have widows among us. Incredible work in the kingdom. I can also cook. And you know, you hear priests begging every day for money, right?
Yeah, you do. Come on, tell the truth.
Or for the strangers among us, or for the widows among us. Things have gotten away from us because we haven't gone back to the beginning and understood God's purpose and intent. And this teaching is supposed to make that clear. So look, it says, a part of the declaration, so after we give the tithe, now we're declaring before God with our mouth. He says, I removed the holy tithe from my house. I have given the tithe to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widows, according to all the commandments that you've commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments. I have not forgotten your commandments. I have not eaten any of it when in mourning, so I've exercised self-control. I have not removed any of it for an unclean use. I have not given any of it for the dead. Now, this is important. The idolatry is a serious offense with God. And if you understand how it works, when you are worshiping idols and you are praying to the dead, you are basically asking devil spirits to protect your dead loved ones wherever they believe they are, okay? But really, you're just worshiping devil spirits. And so God says, don't do that. But you'll see that where they have these displays, they'll have different things that are offered up to these gods. And he's like, I haven't given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of my God. I have done all that you've commanded me. That is what God is asking us for. He's saying, look, I want you to acknowledge me in all your ways. I want you to be trustworthy, and you take that 10%. You lay it aside on your premises. You make it available to those who serve God. You make it available to the widow, to the fatherless, and to the foreigners who are among you who are facing abuse and hostile situations, right? But if every time somebody comes to you, you can't give it to them because you're broke, because you gave it to somebody else, because you're expecting them to do what God has told you to do. That's not correct.
Amen.
Of this portion of Deuteronomy chapter 26, it says, and he's talking about his people, the children of Israel back then, but this is before they even went into the promised land, because God said, I'm giving you the instructions so you know what to do when you get there, right? This day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore, you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul, Today you have proclaimed to the Lord to be your God. Today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his judgments, and that you will obey his voice. Also today, the Lord has proclaimed you to be his special people, just as he promised you, that you should keep all his commandments and that he will set you high above all nations, which he has made, high in praise, high in name, high in honor, that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as he has spoken. Now, we know that verse that says the nations who bless Israel will be blessed. And we spot this right now. Egypt is this, or not Egypt, I'm sorry. The nations who bless Israel will be blessed. And Israel is this country about the size of New Jersey, surrounded by enemies on all sides in the Mediterranean Sea. You got the Mediterranean and then 10 enemies surrounding this little tiny country the size of New Jersey. And so in this situation, they're protected by the power of the United States of America. And the United States of America is blessed because we protect Israel. And God set it up like that for a reason. So I want us to look at one scripture, and I'm going to end today here in the Gospel of Mark chapter 10. And I'm going to be reading for verses 29 to 30, because this is what Jesus Christ tells us when we obey the principles of tithing in our life. It says, "And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that is left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution." So he's telling the truth. He's saying, I'm going to give you all these things, but you're going to receive with those things persecutions in this time. And in the world to come, you're going to get eternal life. So it's not just blessings later in eternity. He's saying you're going to receive a hundredfold blessing when you
now
when you sacrifice and you leave your house or your brothers or your sisters or your father or your mother or your wife or your children or your land for Jesus Christ's sake and for the gospel's sake. When you sacrifice and you serve others for Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ says, you're going to receive a hundredfold blessing now in this time, right now, today. You're going to receive houses, brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children. See, that's the more than abundant life, and lands with persecution. So you can't be blessed and then complain because God sets your table of blessing in the presence of your enemies. God says, I prepare your table of blessings in the presence of your enemies, because our God is enemies into our brothers and sisters in Christ. They're supposed to be our brethren if we do this thing correctly. Or God just takes care of them right there in front of us. So the persecution is a blessing. The hundredfold blessing now is, you're going to receive all these things you sacrificed and you have foregone so that you can serve God, but God's going to bless you with them more than what you sacrifice, but it's going to come with persecution. But even in that, you have this principle of the three years and then the tithing, then the 3 years and more tithing, so it's established, then the year of rest, right? Well, that year of rest is in the world to come. We receive eternal life. There are no more enemies before us. God prepares the table. He's going to prepare our table in the absence of our enemies in eternity, because our enemies are going to be right? So that's what we have to look forward to. And God, and Jesus Christ, he was real. He said, look, you're going to receive all these things a hundredfold, but with persecution. So he said, look, be ready, because the suffering that I endured, you're going to endure, but you're going to be blessed while you're being persecuted. You know what we do for those who persecute us? We We pray for them, right? We pray for them, right? We do good to those who spitefully use us. We love those who hate us, and we bless those who curse us with our mouth, right? So God is our incredible privilege, incredible purpose, with an incredible praise. And see, they were praising God with their tithe and praising God with their first fruits when they were remembering God's deliverance. This is another thing that the devil does. The devil always tries to twist God's word by adding something to it, right? So when God tells people, you're going to forgive or you won't be forgiven, then what the devil says is, well, you've got to forgive and forget. God didn't say anything about forgiving.
No. Amen.
Remembering with that Jacob was in our Aramean, remembering that Jacob was about to perish, remembering that Jacob went into Egypt small and dwelt in Egypt small, and then he was few in number when he went in, but then became a great nation, and then he was mistreated, and he was afflicted by the Egyptians. He had hard bondage laid on him, right? So he is wanting them to recount God's goodness in the midst of the persecution. That is a visible example of the blessing that God says is available to us, right?
All right.
We're going to receive blessing with persecution. Hey, you know what? God delivered and blessed them, gave them a great inheritance then, and the inheritance that he has for them in eternity is incredible. The way that God's about to bless his people, I'm just going to be glad to be watching it. And I believe we're going to be a part of that government with Jesus Christ overseeing all that business, right? Every one of you, when you tithe intentionally. When God blesses you with first fruits, be blessed intentionally. And when you give enthusiastically, because those who give with an intentional heart, those who give and they are generous, those are going to receive an incredible blessing from God, because you are doing what you do for God in the presence of God. But then don't forget to declare with your mouth all the good things that God has done for you. And remember what God has done, because your testimony is one of the ways that you overcome and one of the ways that God takes you to an even higher level than you've already been. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this work that's gone forth. I thank you for you having blessed and touched someone today in a way that they did not expect. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. Pastor Cook, it's all yours.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. What a powerful teaching on tithing, the principle of tithing. I pray that someone really now understands tithing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Bishop, for that. Hallelujah. It's timely. It's needed. And, you know, if we go back and understand the origins, then we will understand the principle all the more. Hallelujah. Right now, what we're going to do, I would like for Pastor Vanessa to come and send a prayer with this message. And then we're going to give you an opportunity to come to the Lord. And if you are in the sanctuary and you want to put your praise on it, you would just like to have a word today, know that you are more than welcome to do so by pressing your 1. And I will acknowledge you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. I know that Apostle Zeta Flower's sisters are here. They are sisters. They're her sisters and my aunties. I'm glad that you're here. God bless you. I see that my sister, Evangelist Kathy, is in the house, and we're going to have her pray in a minute. So right now, I'd like Pastor Vanessa to come forth and send that message with a prayer in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Pastor, Apostle Cook, and thank you, Bishop Carver. That was an excellent message, and I thank you, Lord, today that we be encouraged to actualize this word, understanding where much is known, much is required. So, Father God, I just thank you, Lord, today for the empowerment and the might that was encapsulated with this word. Restore the vessel, Father God, that poured into us. Seal this word with your power and might and our faith to believe that with all things, with you, all things are possible, so we can actualize in our community, in our marriages, Father God, in our relationships, this principle that we heard today that comes straight from heaven, Lord, will be seen amongst us, and you will get all the praise and all the glory. Now, let's not forget that we will be challenged. This word will be challenged, but nevertheless, Lord, you will give us the strength and the focus and the determination to know that faith without works is dead. And I just thank you, Lord, today that all the things that you're going to do for us and with us with what we heard today. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name and give us peace. Have a great week. Amen.
Amen. Amen. At this time, I want to ask Evangelist Kathy Horton to come on in the room, and I would like for her to extend the invitation.
Praise the Lord, saints. God bless the message, and God bless the messenger.
Hallelujah.
God bless you, Bishop. Amen. God bless you. In listening to that, it's very simple. If you obey God, I will simplify it for you. If you obey God, there is a blessing.
Amen.
If you obey God and in all your obedience to God, there's a blessing.
Yes, yes. Hallelujah.
I'm bringing that point to you to this day. If you give your life to God right now, it is a blessing. Right now.
Yes, it
even
is.
Even more. You're already being blessed because God has allowed you to give you breath and life. You got rain on the just and the unjust. But even more so, he wants to bless you. Right now, to God be the glory. But if you just repeat this little prayer after me, from your heart and be sincere, just like he was saying, in your giving, in your tithe, and in your first fruit, do it from the heart. Be sincere. Repeat these words after me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me of all my sins and all my
righteousness.
I make you Lord of my life this day, and do with me what you will. Help me and give me strength to be obedient to your word. Because you love me first, and now I love you. And thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It's a simple old prayer. You're part of the family. Your blessings are not coming. Your blessings are now here in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Love you in the Lord. God bless you, my dear.
Hallelujah. God bless you, my dear sister. Amen. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for every person that just turned their lives over to you, God. We pray in the name of Jesus that they would find a body of believers, Father God, who truly love you, that will nurture them, that will disciple them, Lord God, and that will strengthen them in their walk with you. Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus that they would study to show themselves approved so that they will not be tossed by every whim, Lord God, and just cling to the truth of your holy word. And, Lord, we thank you for Bishop Carver. We thank you for every servant leader here, Father God, that is shared in the banquet of spreading your gospel. Lord, fill them back up as well. Lord, we just want to thank you for what you're doing. We want to thank you for the souls that are being saved. We want to thank you, Father God, for those that are rededicated themselves to you all over the world, Lord. We are planting seeds of trees that we will never sit under, Father God. But as long as we know we are doing what you want us to do, oh God, we will go forth. We will praise your holy name. You will be glorified, Father God, because there is none like you. There is none greater than you. And Lord, we just want to thank you with everything you do in our lives. We give you the honor and the glory and the praise. Amen. Well, since I see no one press for anybody else to speak, I'm going to ask that Bishop Carver, I'm sure he still has a word for the brethren, because here at Spirit Alive, we want our men of God to be in their rightful place with God.
Amen, Apostle Cook. Yes, we do have a word for the men. And right now, I want you to know that it is in line with today's message. And so this is what God directs us to do as men in terms of positioning our heart toward God. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 8, it says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." And then he gives us more direction in Colossians 3, 23 and 24. God says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, not pleasing men, unto the Lord, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." This is the word that we have for the men today, so that we can be free, so that we can be empowered, so that we can be effective in our obedience to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Apostle Cook, it's all yours.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Father God, we have been in the midst of a wonderful service today. Again, I want to thank all of you that joined us in the sanctuary today. We want to thank Bishop Carver, Pastor Vanessa Carver, Mother Mitchell. We want to thank again Apostle Zeta Flowers, Minister Tina Brown, and of course, my sister and friend, Evangelist Kathy Horton. We want to praise God, hallelujah, for all of you that are listening in the chat room and that will be listening and rebroadcast. We pray that you truly, truly will get a rhema word, hallelujah, and a good understanding of God's word, because it truly was presented here today. So if there be nothing else, hallelujah. May the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with you greatly until we meet again. We pray that you will continue to follow us here on the Spirit Alive Network. We have something for everyone almost every day of the week. So we just ask that, you know, you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. You are dismissed. Go in peace and remember that God loves you and so do we. God bless you and continue to have a beautiful and blessed day. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Apostle Zeta, I'm going to be calling you on a 573 number. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Just look for it. God bless you. We love you.
All right.
I love you all.
God bless you.
I love you all.
Love
God
you
bless
all.
You.
We love you
Thank
too.
Thank you for coming. We're glad you were here. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
God bless.
God bless you all. We love each and we love you. Hallelujah.